What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What's going on, y'all? Good morning on this day, Monday, January 13th. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on for the day. I'm sure a lot of us are celebrating a victory Monday after the Eagles took care of business yesterday and won the first round of the playoff, the wild card weekend game against the Green Bay Packers. It will not be a victory Monday twice, as the Sixers did not take care of business in Orlando. I will get to my three takeaways from that game in just a second, but I appreciate you starting your day and your week with me in this Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update. Make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter, your boy James Jackson, at JimmyJ23 for myself, at Clap Your Hands Pod for the podcast on Twitter, because I know a lot of us are paying attention to the Eagles. But there are a couple people paying attention to the Sixers, including myself, Elliot, and Jack, staying on top of the Sixers, bringing you pods and these daily pods so you can stay up to date as well. Appreciate you guys keeping it locked with us. So you know how I do with these daily pods. Not a game day, so we'll go through a regular agenda. I'll set the schedule. I'll go through some scores around the league, some teams we should pay attention to as Sixers fans, some injury news, regular news, and then on the other side of the break, I take, we'll get into some analysis, my three takeaways from the Sixers' loss in Orlando on Sunday, because I'm sure a lot of us were not watching it, so I will update everybody on how that game went. Let's set the week, because it is Monday, so that's what we do on our Monday Daily Pods. Let's set the week. We have two back-to-backs this week. That's the Sixers' schedule, 4 games on 2 back-to-backs. So tomorrow starts the first one, play the Thunder at home at 7 p.m. at the Wells Fargo Center. So we welcome in the number one team in the Western Conference, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Williams, Isaiah Hartenstein, former Sixer Isaiah Joe, and company will be coming to the Wells Fargo Center on Tuesday. Still no Chet Holmgren, who is still out with his injury, looking to return at some point, hopefully this season, for the Thunder, but he will not play against the Sixers on Tuesday. They spin right around and play the Knicks, who come into Philly on Wednesday at 7 p.m. We know how kind of polarizing this Knicks team is in Philadelphia, how well the Knicks fans travel down here to South Philly. The Knicks kind of struggling a little bit. Got a big win last night. I'll go over that in just a second. But have been playing their best ball as of recently. But they come on Wednesday to play the Sixers. Then Saturday and Sunday, they go on the road. Saturday, they go to Indiana and play the Pacers at 7 p.m. And Sunday, they go to Milwaukee and play the Bucks, who have also started to play a little bit better at 7 p.m. So two back-to-backs this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday for the Sixers. All 7 p.m. tip-offs, even the weekend games. So set your calendar, set your schedule accordingly, I'm sure. Sunday next week, like Sunday this week, or everyone's attention might be elsewhere. But Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, keep it locked for the Sixers basketball at 7 p.m. Let's get to some scores around the league. Yesterday, some teams we should pay attention to. As Sixers fans, I mentioned how the Knicks kind of got back to their winning ways and got on top of the Bucks. I mean, 140 to 106 in regulation. That was in regulation. So the Knicks were faltering a little bit. Looks like they were losers of four of their last six going into that game, but got the win against the Bucks. It was Jalen Brunson, 44 points yesterday, 144 on them. Four out of five Knicks starters in double figures, 44 for JB, 30 and 18 for Karl-Anthony Towns, as he poured in a big game as well, and an 18 from Campaign off the bench. But it was JB and Cat kind of leading the way for the Knicks to boom. They had a 39-point second quarter to the Bucks' 29-point second quarter that really kind of helped them gain a lot of distance. The Bucks did not win any quarter in this game, as you can imagine. 24 and 13 for Giannis. He led the way. 22 and 5 for Dame Lillard. Those were the only really noticeable games for the Bucks. 16 for Chris Middleton off the bench, who's trying to embrace his new role, right? Along with Bradley Beal, they were both sent to the bench for their respective teams to try to shake things up, get a little bit more production. It looks like it's working for the Suns a little bit better than it's working for the Bucks and Chris Middleton. But they struggle in this one, 140 to 106, to get thumped by the Knicks in the Garden. The Kings helped us out. The Kings beat the Bulls in Chicago 124 to 119. Zach LaVine had a very good game, though. 36 points for Zach LaVine. The Bulls got four out of five starters in double figures, too. 18 points from Nick Vooch, 18 and 7. It was him, but it was not enough, as the Kings put together a complete game. All five starters in double figures for them. Domantas Sabonis, 22, 15 and 8 for him. De'Aaron Fox, 26 and 9 rebounds, 18 and 9 assists for Malik Monk, as they get a go on. A lot of coach DMPs for the Kings, right? Mike Brown out, a new coach in, and we got Jay Crowder, Doug McDermott, Alex Len, Colby Jones. A lot of people who normally get some time for the Kings did not get any time. They only went nine deep in this game, which is even, you know, kind of a lengthy rotation even for some teams. But a lot of players did not get on the court for the Kings, but it did not matter. They won and beat the Bulls 124 to 119. The Celtics got on top of the Pelicans. They beat them 120 to 119. It was a close game. They withstand a Zion return and beat the Pelicans. They had a little late run, the Pelicans did, to try to close this gap. Zion Williamson, 16 points, 7 rebounds, and 28 minutes played. So he's looking okay, right? His first game back, had 22 points, now had 16 points, was suspended for the Sixers game for being late to the team playing to Philadelphia. Looks like he's made amends there. So four out of five starters for the Pelicans in double figures. It was a Jason Tatum 38 ball that got the Celtics to win, though. 38 points, 11 rebounds for him, 19 and 11 for KP, 16 and 7 assists for Jaylen Brown, I should say. And the Celtics get a close win, 120 to 119. And then finally, we will take a look at, I won't kind of go into the Magic and Cavs game. They're a little high for the Sixers to try to catch. Cleveland lost. They lost to the Pacers. They actually, let's get into this game, because the Pacers are a team the Sixers should pay attention to. 108-93, the Pacers beat the Cavs. Only the Cavs second home loss of the season. So the Pacers are able to kind of stun them at home. And it's funny, because when the Pacers win, there's no one that really goes off. It's always balanced scoring when the Pacers win. 4 out of 5 starters in double figures, but 18 points, 15 points, 19 points, 12 points for the starters, and then a 12-point performance and 11-point performance from Obi Toppin and Thomas Bryant off the bench. Andrew Nembhard actually led the starters with 19 points scoring, right? And then you go to the Cavs side, and you can see how much of a down game it was. 20 points from Darius Garland was the leading scorer, 20 and 7 assists, 19 points, only 1 assist for Donovan Mitchell. That's not his recipe for success if they're winning. He's got his teammates more involved for that. So the Cavs, the Sixers aren't going to catch the Cavs, but they could have helped them a little bit by beating the Pacers and they get in that game. They did not, but the Jazz hold off the Nets to keep them staying behind the Sixers. They beat them 112 to 111. And overtime was that game. Isaiah Collier, the second-year player out of USC, got the leading scorer in the game, highest scorer in the game. For the Jazz, 23 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds for Isaiah Collier. Colin Sexton had 21 points and 5 assists for the Jazz. So thank you to the Jazz, kind of keeping the Nets at bay a little bit as the Sixers continue to struggle. But let's look at the full Eastern Conference standings right now to see where the Sixers lie. Still in that 11th seed right now, looking at the Bulls in that 10th and final play-in spot. Right now, the Sixers are, looks like, 3 full games ahead of the Nets for that 11th spot. So I have a little bit of distance between them and the Nets for that 11th spot, but are 2 games back of the 10th and final play-in spot. They are 5 games back of the Miami Heat for that 7th play-in spot. Still 5 games back of the Milwaukee Bucks of the 6th and final playoff spot. So as losses continue to pile up, as Sixers drop games, they drop kind of position in the standings. They're still in that 11th spot. Looks like they'll stay in that 11th spot for the time being. They have a little bit of distance between them, the Brooklyn Nets, the Charlotte Hornets, but there's still distance between them and the Bulls, distance between them and the Hawks, who have the 9th seed, even more distance between them and the Bucks, who have the 6th seed. So which every loss seems so, so impactful. Seems like the gap gets further and further the more the Sixers drop games. And we talked about how they could be eyeing to get out of the play-in. I think realistically at this point, we're looking to just to get in the play-in, right? And to get to maybe that 7 or 8 seed so they only have to win once to get into the playoffs. But right now, we just got to look to try to get that 10th seed to try to get in. Let's look at some injuries from the Sixers. They had 3 key notables not play yesterday. Caleb Martin, Joel Embiid, and Andre Drummond all did not play yesterday against the Magic. Caleb Martin was dealing with a groin injury. He's kind of been in and out of the lineup lately, so he did not play against the Magic. Andre Drummond missed another game with that toe injury. That seems to be kind of ailing him and nagging him a little bit. He's missed about 3-4 games now with that toe injury. And then Joel Embiid out with the foot injury still. No knee. No orbital fracture on his injury report. So right now they're citing just the foot as keeping Joel Embiid kind of out for these consecutive games. Did not play Friday against the Pelicans. Did not play Sunday against the Magic. Let's see if he plays on Tuesday when the Thunder come into town. Kyle Lowry has also been kind of in and out. There's no timeline for his returning his hip injury, but it will likely be kind of longer than a day-to-day, week-to-week situation for Kyle Lowry. So we will see how he's feeling, how he's doing. But those were the key inactives for the Sixers. I will be back tomorrow with their injury report after practice or after their day off and see, you know, who's going to play against the Thunder and how they're feeling. Let's get to some news. Because some big news dropped yesterday, again, right before the Eagles game. This is not, to me, this is not ever coincidental when this news or something like this drops for the Sixers when everyone's trying to pay attention to the Eagles. But it seems that the Sixers are staying in South Philly, that they are not moving forward with their $1.3 billion plan to bring a new arena to Center City in the Market Street East. That plan has now dissolved. That group has backpedaled, and they have found an agreement to keep the Sixers in South Philly and build a new arena in the South Philly complex for the Sixers. So a union representative and a city official confirmed on Sunday that a new deal has been worked out with Comcast Spectacor, and they backpedaled on that plan to bring a new arena to Chinatown and Market Street East. A 76th place is what it was called. It will no longer go under development. That was supposed to happen at around 2031, and that plan is now shifted back to South Philly, and the Sixers will be at a new arena for them and the Flyers. So the plan will demolish Wells Fargo Center and put a new arena in that lot where the Sixers and Flyers will eventually bid on that new arena to see who will own it and who will play in it. My guess is the Sixers plan to outbid the Flyers heavily to get that building. That's the whole reason that they wanted to move. They wanted to stop paying rent to the Flyers. So if they now own the building, roles will reverse, tables will turn, and they will own the building. And if the Flyers want to play, they will have to pay to be in that building. So they will have this plan comes with an enhancement to the stadium district, and also still comes with plans to revitalize and rejuvenate Market Street East, where the new arena was going to go. So that doesn't mean that there's nothing happening to that area of downtown. There's still a plan to kind of revitalize it, to upkeep it. The whole fashion district thing that's happened right there next to City Hall has not gone the way the city has wanted to, has not generated the money, the traffic the city has hoped. So there still is a plan to kind of redo and revitalize that area, as long as well as the stadium district, and kind of bring a whole new look to the South Philly complex. So a roller coaster of events that has dated back to September, many protests, many meetings that have come about it. And ultimately, what I thought we were going to have to do was wrap our minds and our heads around going downtown to watch the Sixers play right next to City Hall. While there was a little part of me that kind of thought that this was going to fall through, this was going to dissolve, I thought when we got that final verdict that it was it, right? And I had a tough time really imagining how this was not going to happen, even though a little part of me thought that was very much possible. And now that we're here, I'm ultimately happy the Sixers are staying in the South Philly Sports Complex, right? I think that is something that's, you know, very unique to Philadelphia. That's big that all of our sports teams, all of our major sports teams play in the same kind of complex, in the same area. I think it's kind of great for, you know, how much Philadelphia loves to tailgate and loves to throw events and stuff down there. Displacing the Sixers from that felt like the Sixers were kind of on the outside of Philly sports looking in. They already have to fight that mantra sometimes. So this kind of keeps everything in-house, keeps everything at the same spot. It keeps Philadelphia kind of how it is and moving forward. So I personally am happy with the decision. I do think it is kind of crazy that throughout this entire season, we've gone back and forth, and there has been real plans and real threat, I should say, to an arena going downtown to all of a sudden this not happening, to this going a 180 and a stag in South Philly. It's kind of crazy. I'm very interested to see more details as it comes about as to how this came about, how they backtracked, what kind of money was thrown out to get these plans kind of reversed and put back to South Philadelphia. But it's actually insane that this didn't go through. But we should all rejoice. We should all be happy that the Sixers at the end of the day aren't going anywhere. But I will say, man, never a dull day in Philadelphia. That is for sure. Never a dull day. I'm going to take a break. On the other side of the break, I'm going to break down that game yesterday, since I know a lot of people were not paying attention to it. I don't blame you. The Sixers dropped a disappointing one to the Magic. I'll give you my three takeaways on the other side of the break. So stay tuned.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, y'all. Appreciate you again starting your day and your week with me. I wish I could say victory Monday twice. For those of you celebrating the Eagles win, congratulations. Us over here in Sixers land, it hasn't been so great. It has not been so great. But make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23 for myself. At Clap Your Hands Pod for the podcast on Twitter. Let's get to that game yesterday, not talking about the playoff win and talking about the Sixers loss to the Magic in Orlando. My three takeaways from the game yesterday. Yes, I was watching. All right, I had to put the playoff games on the laptop, had to put the Sixers on the big screen, had work to do, had to pay attention to this game. My first takeaway from the loss yesterday, it was the two halves, a tale of two halves, from Tyrese Maxey yesterday. Yesterday was an up and down game for Tyrese Maxey. It started off looking well, though. Despite appearing to injure his hand about in the second quarter, he had a very strong first half. He was actually like doubled over in pain, kind of holding his hand yesterday. And it's something that gave a lot of Sixers fans a scare. He had to go over to the bench. Did not come out of the game. There was a timeout. He came right back onto the game, into the game after the timeout, but was just seen flexing his hand throughout most of the game. So we'll pay attention to that when we talk about the injury reports for tomorrow and moving forward. But all in all, he stayed in and had a good first half. He had 22 points at halftime, 45% from the field, and 40% from three, right? He also had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. So he had a very productive first half. And it looked like I was about to tweet, we might have a Mad Max sighting in Orlando. Right, I thought maybe we were going to get a Maxey, 40 ball plus if he came out and looked that form in the second half. It just changed after halftime. He looked different. Reese only had 7 points after halftime. He shot 22% from the field in the second half, 25% from three. And it just looked like he was taken out of the flow and the rhythm of the offense and of the game. So Nick Nurse did cite that the defensive adjustment the Magic made on Maxey as to why he was, frustrated in that second half. He said, quote, they switched up some coverages. They were switching a lot 1 through 5 and ended up with some pretty lengthy guys on him. Obviously, he got to the free throw line a bunch, and most of that was in the first half. Just didn't have quite as many openings, I didn't think, in the second half because of the kind of 1.5 or 2 guys on him a lot of times. So what happened to Maxey is what happens to pretty much every star who, at some point throughout the game, especially if you have a 22-point first half, defensive adjustments. They're going to start blitzing. They're going to start sending 2. You're going to start seeing bodies. They're going to start trying to get the ball out of your hand. That is what happens, right? That's I don't see anything in there that Nick Nurse said that was anything kind of game changing or, you know, anything outside of the box that the Magic did to get the ball out of Maxey's hands or frustrated him. They just started putting attention to him, right? They just thought they started, you know, saying you're going to have to let other guys beat us or make other guys beat us, right? We're not going to make it easy for you. It seemed like if they started switching on him, if they started sending two, if they started blitzing on him, they maybe weren't doing that in the first half. Maybe they didn't think they needed to, or they thought, you know, kind of a little bit of a shorthanded Magic team too, that they couldn't afford to put that much attention on Maxey. When they stopped that and started going at him in the second half, it go to 7 points. So that's something that I've always kind of been concerned about with Tyrese Maxey, is when he becomes, you know, the focal point of a good defensive team like the Magic, you know, he can struggle. He can get taken out of games. And even Paul George was, you know, even having a pretty good third quarter, started to come alive a little bit in that third quarter. And Maxey still wasn't able to kind of use that to play off of and go get more points. So it does kind of stink that Reeves can get taken out of the game like this, especially when it looks like he's about to have a Mad Max night. So 22 points in the first half, only 7 in the second half for Tyrese Maxey, and the Sixers do not get the win on Orlando. Second takeaway, I should say, from this game. And speaking of defensive adjustments, Sixers made some adjustments themselves, right? I got to give Nick Nurse a little bit of props where props are due. His seat is hot. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, right? I know a lot of this is outside of Nick Nurse's control, but it does look like too often that the Sixers are not prepared to play, not able to kind of shake off adversity in the midst of games, all of that. But you do see spots where Nick Nurse is doing his best to put his team in position to win games. So dealing with a good team like the Magic, and you're shorthanded like the Sixers were, it's not easy. And Nick Nurse had to get creative at times yesterday to give his teams ways to stay in the game, get back in the game, and hopefully try to win. And one of those was a defensive switch after halftime, right? Sixers went into the half down one, took a 4-point lead into the fourth quarter. So they won that third quarter, not by any crazy stretch of the imagination, but they seemed to grab a little bit of control of this game in that third quarter. And from what I saw was when they went to a zone, they went to a little bit of a 3-2, or even a matchup zone at times, and it gave the Magic a little bit of trouble in that third quarter. And it's not the first time, not even this week, that I've seen Nick Nurse do that, right? On Friday against the Pelicans, we saw him go to that 3-2 zone. Paul George actually at the top of that 3-2 zone. And then it also kind of went to a matchup zone sometimes where you got somebody, Reggie Jackson, was shadowing him at times. Kelly Oubre shadowing C.J. McCollum at times when C.J. McCollum was starting to go off, right? Almost maybe not really a box in one, but they really started to throw attention to CJ and zone it up everywhere else, right? So it was more of a matchup zone. Nick Nurse pulled that out again yesterday in that third quarter. So now, like I said, didn't completely shut the Magic down. They still scored 24 points in that third quarter. But considering how they were playing, 24 is kind of keeping them down a little bit. End of the Sixers, 29 means the Sixers won that third quarter. They won the second quarter as well and were able to take a little bit of momentum into that final frame. It was the final frame that let them down. The Magic adjusted to the adjustment and got themselves back into the game. But I do see where Nick Nurse is, you know, moving chess pieces, making decisions as a head coach to, you know, get the game plan back in the Sixers' favor. I noticed that. Good on Nick Nurse for doing that. Good on the Sixers for responding in that moment and being able to grab control of the game. He's got to close out, right? When you get the lead going in the fourth, you just got to close out. That's all that it is. Third and final thing I noticed and my takeaways from yesterday's game, it's actually of the last two. And the Sixers really struggling to guard dynamic scoring guards on the offensive end. I talked about this a little bit, haven't harped on it really as of late. But if the other team has a very dynamic and scoring guard, point guard or shooting guard, the Sixers struggle with that mightily. And go down the list, right? You got CJ on Friday. You got LaMelo Ball. You got Tyrese Haliburton. You got Donovan Mitchell. You got plenty. You got Cole Anthony yesterday. Got plenty and plenty of guys who, you know, this is a lot of dynamic guards in this league, man. And it seems that when the Sixers see one and get matched up against one, they have trouble, right? And the Sixers have a lot of problems on the defensive end. And honestly, there are a lot of areas that I could point to, but this one is just one that has stuck out the past two games. And that's the inability to guard guards. Friday, like I said, CJ McCollum for 38. Cole Anthony yesterday had 27 in a good game. Paolo Banchero also had 20 as he starts to look good coming back from injury, right? Cole Anthony was the headliner in the points yesterday, but he was not the only guard who was making an impact and having his way. Whether it was Anthony Black off the bench, KCP had 17 off the bench himself, right? It's hard, right? Maxey has his problems on the offensive end. Sixers are also small in the guard position on the defensive end, right? When it was fully healthy, we thought it was going to be Maxey and Jared McCain. Even when it's not, Kyle Lowry on the defensive end, Reggie Jackson on the defensive end, right? Right now, you're kind of starting Maxey and Kelly Oubre kind of in that too, right? But Kelly Oubre has to go and guard wings, right? Sometimes has to guard threes and fours, right? It's Maxey and company who are guarding the guards and just not being able to stop them. So if I'm being completely honest, harsh truth, it's not something that I really see improving from the Sixers anytime soon, and something that is going to continue to plague them as they try to make a run up, you know, out of the basement of this Eastern Conference into the playoffs, because all of those top six or seven teams, even the eighth seeds, right, even the Pistons of the world, the Bulls of the world, they have Cade Cunninghams and Kobe Whites and dynamic scorers on the guard position on the offensive end for those teams. Sixers got to figure it out, man, and got to figure it out soon at some point. Those are my three takeaways from the loss. A tale of two halves for Maxey. Sixers making adjustments. Nick Nurse, I see you, but then also struggling to guard the dynamic guards on the opposing end. So not a good end of the week for the Sixers last week. Hopefully this week is a lot kinder. But like Paul George said, it does not get any easier. I will be back tomorrow to preview the game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. But until then, I will see everybody in 24 hours.